You know, the king finds out that there's an expression of God's will. And he tears his garments and calls the whole people together because they're not doing God's will. How would you like to see that happen today? You know, God's will. And now that, you know, the Lord God has come among us, taught us, you know, born of one of us, lived with us, ate and drank with us. This is God. And finally, he begins to teach us. We have some right here today in the gospel. I wonder if we pay much more attention. These people, when they finally heard the law, it was probably the book of Deuteronomy, which is comes from Deuteros Nomos, second law. In other words, you have the first four books, and then you have a book that sort of sums it all up in a hortatory way. And that's the book of Deuteronomy. That was probably, and that was very popular in the north. And by this time, there's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, you know. Anyway, they tore their garments. And then he said, issued this command to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Michala, son of Shaphan, and the king's servant Asiaha. Go find out what this is all about, because we are offending God. Where could we get that done today? Never mind all the pagans who don't even know him among the Christians. God's will. And we know that that will is only meant to lead us to a transforming union with God himself, even in this life. And so so the king had all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem summoned together before him. The king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, priests, prophets, and all the people, small and great. And he had the entire contents of the book of the covenant read out. Standing by the column, the king, there's a column in the temple, the king made a covenant before the Lord that they would follow him, observe his ordinances, statutes, and decrees with their whole hearts and souls, thus reviving the terms of the covenant which were written in this book. And all the people stood as participants in the covenant. That was a very exciting day. But how many of them kept it? It's like us, right? We hear the gospel. And we say, oh yes. And by noon, we're breaking it. The only way to be faithful to the Lord is to walk in his presence. And that means cultivating an awareness of God all day. I think I've told you before about Brother Patrick in the monastery. He's an Irishman. Couldn't read or write. But he said the Hail Mary, the rosary, all day. And you'd hear him muttering it, Hail Mary, full of grace, grace, grace. He'd stop at a word, you know. And he'd do that while the rest of us were trying to sleep in the dorm. We slept in big dorms, you see, divided, almost like the Johns in the railroad station. You know, we had our cubicle. And you'd hear him, Hail Mary, full of grace, 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 going on like that with every word. And then one night, there was this crash, and all the boards holding up his bed just crashed to the floor. Silence. Then blessed art thou among women. I don't think he even bothered to get off the floor. I think he just slept there and kept on praying. And when they were given a chance to join the choir monks, and you know, a lot of the brothers didn't want to do that. And so old brother Patrick didn't want to do it, you know. And so somebody, a donor, wanted to have Brother Patrick's breviary. So the prior said, write something in it, brother. And he did not want to do that. But he's a monk, and the prior told him to do it. So he writes his name, which he could hardly do, you know. I mean, he wasn't, didn't have a PhD. And he handed the book back, the breviary back to the prior. And he said, it is a great and wonderful thing to be unknown and forgotten. I don't want to give you this thing. So that's, but he set the tone for the rest of us. I mean, he taught me how to scythe. I worked with him for quite a bit. And I was so privileged. I liked working with Brother Patrick, you know. And I learned, as I say, I learned how to scythe from him. Our Lord's instruction in the gospel is pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, by their fruit, you know them. What are they producing? You know, people don't go look on thorn bushes for grapes, you know, or figs from a thistle bush. You know, you don't do that. So it is with us as individuals and as a community. What kind of fruit do we produce? Is it beautiful, enticing, encouraging, you see, or not? And that's the challenge.